Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Easter, Christ is risen.
He is risen
indeed. Hallelujah. Today is the greatest day of the entire year. Today is the greatest day of all history. We celebrate the day our Lord and Savior has risen from the grave. You know, the entire Christian religion is based on our Lord's resurrection from the dead. And it is an inexhaustible source of doctrine, confession, life, and celebration. And it is hard to imagine what life would be like without Easter. Yes, I want you to have an It's a Wonderful Life, Jimmy Stewart moment. What would life be like without Easter? St. Paul tells us, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. So take Easter away, and we no longer have the first fruits of Christ's resurrection, but rather the leftovers of Satan's temptation and Adam and Eve's first sin. You take away Easter, and you take away forgiveness. For Easter tells that Good Friday worked, that God has accepted the sacrifice of His Son. You take away Easter, and you take away life, because death now becomes everybody's eternal destiny, everybody's fate, yours and mine too. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. You take away Easter, and you take away the glorified body as the capstone of our Christian hope. Not only life forever, but an embodied life, and one so glorious that we can hardly imagine it. But it is this very idea, the resurrection of the body, that some of the first Christians in Corinth balked about. How can this be? They asked. When you're dead, you're dead. When it sure looks that way. If you have anything to do with dead bodies, you know that the Corinthians were right. Dead people do not come back to life. Reality is not a zombie movie with the walking dead. Here and now, life always ends in real death. Fight it or deny it, maybe even try to ignore it. Choose whatever strategy you like, it doesn't matter one little bit. Death always wins. It happens to everyone. It's final, it's permanent. And when you're dead, you're dead. Or so it seems. But Easter turns that all around. In fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Our Lord Jesus Christ arose from the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all shall be made alive. He lives, and because He lives, you live too. And with a glorified body. Again, some of the Christians at Corinth were skeptical. Hard to imagine breathing new life into a dead corpse. But what then? Then what? A second death? Not at all. But difficult to describe. Paul writes a little bit later in this chapter, it is so with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. What is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. What is sown in weakness is raised in power. Perishable, dishonor, weakness, that's us. That's our experience of bodies and life. And since we know no other way, we are used to this reality and these bodies. And in spite of all their frailties, we like our bodies. We love our bodies. In fact, let's be honest about this. We don't just live in our bodies, we are our bodies, and they are us. Moreover, these bodies, natural and earthly as they may be, are still pretty impressive, both individually and collectively. Talk to any med student, doctor, or nurse, anybody in the medical arts, and you will hear how impressive this body is, how complex this body is. God has endowed humanity with precisely what we need for creating and maintaining our lives. In fact, for providing not just for what we need, but often what we want and what gives us pleasure. And so we not only live in these bodies, but we also enjoy it, at least some of the time. And you see, that's the rub. Some of the time. Sometimes more, sometimes less. But that's just it. Some of the time. For our bodies are perishable and weak. Well, now is a wonderful time to be alive in the body, since here in the 21st century, we enjoy all kinds of methods, tools, and medicines to take care of and to help these bodies. Everything from exercise machines to heart transplants, you name it, and we have got it, at least when compared with all of those previous generations. So that life expectancy in the modern world is higher than it has ever been. And yet, in spite of everything, we still know what Paul means by weak and perishable. 2,000 years after Paul, our bodies are just like those of the apostles and everyone in Corinth. They get old, they wear out, and they die. And death can strike the very young and will always strike the very old. We do indeed live in the body, but we also die in the body. And, oh yes, just one more thing. We also sin in the body. For this flesh is not only weak and perishable, it is also dishonorable. And we are subject to the appetites of our bodies. Our hands do the things they shouldn't do. Our feet take us to places where we shouldn't go. Our minds conceive the worst wickedness. Our tongues, well, our tongues are completely out of control. From the first to the last, life in the body is life in sin, and we know no other reality. And for Christians, for Easter people, this really hurts. The new man or woman inside of us doesn't want to sin. Yet with the apostle, we have to admit, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good that I want, but the evil that I do not want is what I keep on doing. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Yes, who? And the perfect Sunday school answer, Jesus. Jesus Christ, of course. And how? By Easter, the sure promise of a glorified body, not weak, but powerful, not perishable, but imperishable, not dishonorable, but glorious, glorious and glorified like his body. That's the promise. That's the victory of Easter. Jesus lives. The victory's won. This shall be my confidence. Amen. Now let us sing a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen.